Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today I have special guest Stacy with me. We're just going to talk about books because we both love them.
They are wonderful. Oh my gosh.
I feel like I've found a kindred spirit in someone who loves books as much as I do. So, Stacy, tell me your favorite book ever.
So my favorite book is probably Pride and Prejudice. I first read that in AP English in 12th grade, and somehow, surprisingly, had never read Jane Austen before that. I don't know how that worked, but then you read, you know, that first sentence of it's a truth universally acknowledged, and I was like, wow, she is amazingly witty, and yet if you weren't, you know, intelligent enough to get it, you wouldn't realize she's being so sarcastic there. That was beautiful. And you never really saw, you know, women at that time who were going to write that just out there, I'm going to tell you how it is sort of thing. They were, mm-hmm. You know, there was the perception that women were, what is it? She has that quote about painting with a little brush, about nothing, and all the books were about marriage, but she's actually saying quite a lot about life and about society at that era, mm-hmm. with sarcasm, which I love. Yes. So she's yes. like, this is amazing. And it's never been topped for me since then.
And people always talk about, well, it's boring, it's hard to read. It's not, it's the language is different, yes.
Yes.
But, I mean, like, the mother in Pride and Prejudice just makes me so happy. I mean, she's so...
She drove me crazy, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, I don't want her in my life, but right. That's what I just loved. She was so obnoxious and so well.
And she couldn't get it when Lizzie was making fun of her. She was just like... Tell me what you think about it if you had five. I was like, really? Okay.
So, yes. I never had to read Jane Austen in college or in high school, which was crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how. Yeah.
Picked it up on my own because people talked about it and fell in love. So, yes. Oh, Jane Eyre. I also love Mansfield Park because the main character in that, Fanny, is mm-hmm. old.
Yeah.
She's a spinster. She's like 25. And as someone who didn't get married until my late 30s, that's like, oh, poor little spinster, 25-year-old Fanny Price.
Well, have you read Eligible?
No, I haven't.
So Eligible is Curtis Sittenfield, and it's Pride and Prejudice brought to a modern day era. And I had mixed thoughts about it, but what sure. I loved about it was the fact that she made the sisters all like mid to late 20s, because okay. in the original, like, Lizzie won't admit that she's 20, nearly 20 or 21 to mm-hmm. Lady Catherine, and it's like, oh, you poor thing, you're not married. And I'm just like, at 20, 21. Okay, yeah, way past that. What does that say about me?
Yeah. Did you read Pride and Prejudice and Zombies?
No. Oh my gosh.
It's probably 80 to 90% of the actual original text.
Really?
Just with zombies. Ugh. So, like, Lizzie marries Mr. Collins because, or not, sorry, Charlotte marries Mr. Okay. Collins because she's been bitten by a zombie and she knows she's going to die and she just wants to get married. So
wow.
It actually makes more sense as to why anyone would marry Mr. Collins.
I'm actually surprised Mr. Collins himself is not a zombie in that
He's
book.
He's not.
Well, yeah, I'm one of those where, like, even with Eligible, I was just like, don't touch it. Don't leave it alone. It was perfect as it was. Why are you messing with this really great thing?
There's so many different variations. I mean, there's Bride and Prejudice, which is the Bollywood
movie. We watched like three different versions in high school, including Bride and Prejudice.
I actually kind of love Bride and Prejudice.
My friends and I, we all used to quote, no life without wife. To each other.
Yes.
After that, we were just like, we don't know what's going on here, but that was fantastic.
I loved it. Okay. So what we are actually going to talk about, though, is Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
What's not to love about Harry Potter? I actually discovered Harry Potter when I was working in the library on campus in college. I'm a little older than you, so...
They had it in the library at college?
Yes!
Really?
Yes, so somebody had it on hold, and it was on the hold shelf, and I picked it up, and I was looking at it because the illustrations reminded me of Roald Dahl.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It was actually the second book, because I opened it up, and it was the chapter with the... I'm not going to be able to remember. The
house elf?
No, they chop them up and stew them to revive the petrified people.
Oh, the mandrakes. Mandrakes. Mandrakes.
Yeah. And you know how the picture of them grasping and pulling the baby
right,
out?
Right, yeah.
And the pictures reminded me of Roald Dahl, and I was like, I have to read this.
Oh, okay.
And so that's how I discovered, you know, and then I found the first one, and I just got sucked in, and yeah.
Yeah, I know I definitely didn't know of them right away, because I remember I got the first and second one very much back to back. Like, I think I got the first one for Christmas, and then I liked it, so my aunt got me the second one for my birthday, which is in April. So I definitely didn't read the first one right away when it came out, and if I remember correctly, the American ones didn't even come out till about a year after the British ones anyway, so it was already this thing, and that's how I got it, because someone told my aunt, oh, this is what everyone's reading, this is what all the kids are reading, you have to get this for your niece. So she got it for me for Christmas, and I was just like, oh my god, what is... I will totally admit that I was very upset when my 11th birthday came and I did not get a letter by owl to go off to Hogwarts. So it was just like, there was a part of me that really thought this might actually be real and she's just writing down real stories. And it was sadly not the case.
I'm so sad. But now with Fantastic Beasts, you would know that you probably would have had to go to the American version.
I haven't actually seen the movie. Okay. I read both Fantastic Beasts and the other one, the two little books that she made for charity when they came out, but I haven't actually seen the movie. So I did watch. I my poor mother dragged her every movie on opening night to see Harry Potter, and she of course couldn't remember what happened in the previous ones.
Right.
So by the time we were getting to 7 Part 1 and 7 Part 2, they were playing them, you know, on I think it was ABC Family at that time, and now it's Freeform. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we're gonna marathon through these. You don't remember anything, and you're gonna go in there and get really confused, because that was the thing I remember hearing, was people who hadn't read the books were really confused a lot of the time at the movies, whereas because I've read the books, I guess my brain's filling in
right
what's not being said on screen.
There's so much you can't put in the movies. I mean, I like the movies. I love the actors that they got for the three main characters, but
they were wonderful.
There's so much that you can't put in. I mean, there's not nearly enough Fred and George in the movies.
I mean, you cut out like more than half of book 4, because book 4 was massive.
Yes.
So it's just like, okay, fine.
I
kind of really don't understand why you couldn't just make the really long movies, since we have the really long Lord of the Rings. I was like, Harry Potter fans will totally sit through this. I don't understand why you're cutting, especially with 7 Part 1 and 7 Part 2. It's just like, you cut out quite a bit of stuff in the last two or three movies.
Yeah.
That I really think you could have just done them in two parts. We would have been fine.
Yes. Well, and I mean, there's just so much. There's so much that you can't always explain well in a
movie.
Yeah. For instance, book 3, Prisoner of Azkaban, with all the backstory on Harry's dad and his friends.
Yeah.
You didn't get as much of that in the movie, I didn't think, with just really how close they were and how...
Yeah.
How that influenced a lot of Harry's decision-making.
Yeah. I mean, it actually felt almost overdone in the books, but then when you get to the movies, it's just sort of like, wait, what? Who? How do you know this person?
Right.
And what's your history? Because you clearly have one by the way you're reacting to each other, but I don't quite get what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt that way quite a bit. And I really wish that I love that they were able to keep all the kids pretty much throughout the whole movie, and all the actors, save for the first Dumbledore who died.
Right.
But I was really annoyed with how different the directing was.
Oh, sure.
From movie to movie. And I really wanted them to bring back, what was it, Alfonso Cuarón, who did the third one for the sixth one, because it was so dark right before we're going into like the final battle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so frustrated that we kept that same director for the last four. I was just like, yeah, you were fine for this book, but the tone for this book is different. So why don't we have a different director? I don't understand. Okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah, my husband calls me a book snob, because I usually, probably 90% of the time, read the book before I see a movie.
Yeah.
And the movie, no matter how well done it is never as good as the book, because you don't get all of the stuff that you get in the book. And so I'm always like, well, they did this in the book. Well, they did that in the
book. I think it's also hard because when you're reading a book, even though, you know, this is the author's words and this is the world they created, you're filling it in your head. And so when I first saw the first Harry Potter movie, I was like, oh, I didn't think that that's what that character looked like, or that that's what that place looked like, or that's how you pronounce McGonagall.
Right. Or Hermione.
Right. Hermione.
The whole Hermione.
Until the movie came out, I was just like, oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and then in the fourth book, is it the fourth book? Yeah, with the Yule Ball. Then she tells him, Victor, how to pronounce it, Hermione. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, me too. I was like, oh, is that, oh, okay. Oh, okay. Fine. I mean, but part of that, I was just assuming, because I mean, we're making up words, we're making up magic spells. So I was like, if I don't know the pronunciation, I'm sure a good portion of the audience also was like, oh, is that how you say that?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But I really loved, speaking of Hermione, that she loved to read.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was a kid, my favorite Disney film, of course, was Beauty and the Beast. Yes. Seriously, if a guy gave me a library, I would very seriously consider marrying him.
I know. Hey, on that note, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking more about books.
But of course.
More about Harry Potter. Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and we will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I am Sarah, and I'm here today with Stacey. We're talking about, well, ostensibly we're talking about Harry Potter, but we're really just talking about books in general because
books are just the best thing ever.
Books are the best thing ever. My dad is actually a librarian, so
and nice.
my mom reads. Right now she reads about a book a day because she has time. So, yeah. If you go to my house or my family's home for a holiday, drives my extroverted husband crazy because the introverted us will, there'll be five people in the living room with five different books.
Oh, that sounds so great.
Yeah. And he'll be like, so when are we going to do something? And I'm like, we are doing something.
This is family time. We all read together, just separate things.
Yes. But also my hometown's 1,000 people in the middle of nowhere, Montana. And oh, it's not like there's anything to do.
Yeah.
So we read.
See, and I don't know how I did that because my mother was very much growing up. It was like, oh, I have to come in and do homework. And I'm just going to stay out on the street until I absolutely have to come in and play with my friends. Meanwhile, I'm like, but there's so many books to read. Why would I go outside?
Exactly.
But there's this other book. And then there's this other book after this. And I've... since at least the age of 9, had at least a 3-foot shelf worth of books that I always have been meaning to read and never gotten to. And that shelf, the books maybe on it have changed, but it's never not been this huge long list of books I want to get to someday, maybe, if ever the time is there.
Yes, I would need several lifetimes to get through my to-be-read list.
Me too.
Because
absolutely.
It just keeps getting longer. And now with the podcast, I'm reading authors that I never would have read, which is awesome.
Yes.
But kind of puts my go-to authors on hold a little bit.
Yeah. So. I feel bad. There are some books I physically own a copy of and have physically owned this copy for about 5 or so years and never actually read. But in the meantime, go to the library and bring home like truckloads of books and go to, you know, used book sales and bring home just pounds and pounds of books.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, you poor thing, you. It's not that I've forgotten you. I will get there. Maybe, I promise. And I've had to actually, just for my sanity, do a few purges of books that I'm like, am I ever actually in my lifetime going to be able to get to this book when I have all these other books I want to read? No. But then it's like, there's something in the back of my mind that's like, you have all this open space on your bookshelf. It must be filled. Go buy more books. Just terrible, terrible circle.
I know. I would decorate with nothing but books if, you know, that.
Have you seen that quote? There was actually a quote by Anna Quinlan, and it was on a bookmark that they gave away at the bookstore at my grad school. But it was, I'm going to misquote a little here. I would be most satisfied if my children grew up to be the type of people who think that decorating consists of building enough bookshelves. Nice. And I was like, that is me. Yes. That is me in a quote. Oh my God, I must have this. I was like, that is exactly how I would do my house.
Yes, with a little like reading fort.
Yes. I read Ex Libris by, her father is Clifton Fadiman, but I'm forgetting the author's name. But she talks about when she was growing up, because her father's Clifton Fadiman and her mother was also really into books, their entire house was books. Mm. And when they moved, every room had just shelves and shelves that they had to take down. And so when people were coming in to buy this house that they were moving out of, it's like, why are there shelves in every room, including the bathroom? And I'm like, that actually sounds fantastic. And I would love to like theme my room up, like, this is the poetry room. This is the history room. I was like, I want to do that.
Nice. Yeah, I love it. Any Pinterest board that has like bookshelves or book nooks or book alcoves, it doesn't matter. I'm like, oh, I want that.
Yes.
I want that. But yeah, alas, probably not enough time. Not to be, yes. So do you have a favorite Harry Potter book? If we get back on track.
My favorite? Oh, well, let's see now.
I know, it's like asking your favorite child, but...
I feel my favorite Harry Potter book is probably the third, Prisoner of Azkaban.
Me too!
Just because, partly... Because Hermione was awesome in that. And it felt, before we got to book five, it was like, oh, okay, so we're doing a pattern here where the first one is all of them together, and the second one's him and Ron, so the third one's him and Hermione, and then the fourth one's him by himself, so we're going to come back. And then that's not quite what happened. But I love Hermione just in general, and totally actually kind of shipped her and Harry together until book four.
Yes.
Their child would have been amazing if they'd had one.
Yes. I love Harry and Ginny. I do.
I love Harry and Ginny in the books.
Yes. They did it weirdly in the movies. Yeah. Like, I don't feel like they developed that well enough. But I did love Harry and Ginny. I understand people who are upset, including J.K. Rowling herself, who was like, you know, I should have put Harry and Hermione together.
They were
like,
great together.
Because you... I know opposites attract, but really sometimes with Harry or Hermione and Ron, you're like, oh, come on. You would strangle him in his sleep.
Yeah, it kind of felt, not to be rude, it kind of felt like she just settled for Ron. Yeah. It's like, you know what? I'll just go with this guy. It's okay. Whatever. And I was just like, but you are such an amazing witch and just person in general. And doing the whole thing of being, you know, muggle-born and this crazy as we're going into Wizarding Civil War. Why do you like Ron? Again, I don't... Like, even with Hermione, it felt almost like she should have been with one of the twins if you're going to do opposites attract, because they were very much rule-breaking and she was very much let's follow the rules. That would have been interesting pairing. But with Ron, it was just like... And I mean, poor Ron, because it was, as you saw with the locket in book seven, you know, he always felt not good enough.
Right.
He's not the girl his mother wanted, and he's not one of his older brothers who were all managed to separate. You're just like, you're just there. And it's like, I feel for you, but... I'm not sure that's the reason for you to get Hermione.
Right. Oh, consolation prize.
Right.
Book three is also my favorite, Prisoner of Azkaban. I think just because it's right before, it's still very lighthearted at that point.
Yeah.
It's still very much a children's series.
Mm-hmm.
No one has died yet. I mean, people have
died
but not like
previously,
main character.
Not in the book. Yeah.
You get more of Harry's dad's backstory. We still don't know a lot about his mom, but you start getting some of that past stuff, and I really, really liked that, getting to know Sirius and Lupin and all of that. So that one's my favorite, although I was upset. Were you wanting to stand in line when they came out or to get them at midnight?
I didn't actually have to. My aunt, it just became sort of our tradition because she was the one who bought me the first one. She ordered all the rest for me and they would just get mailed to her house.
Yes.
And I was really upset because when I think it was either the fourth or fifth one came out, I was actually away at summer camp.
Oh no.
When it came out. And somehow there was a girl at camp who had managed to get it right before going off to camp. And so I read like the first chapter and then I was kicking myself because I still had like another week before I could go home and finish the book. And I was like, why did I do that to myself? But yeah, but whenever I got them, whenever she managed to get them to me, I always just read straight through and stayed up. So it was regularly like, I'm reading till 2 a.m. in the morning, yeah. Even though, you know, I have school tomorrow. I don't care. It's Harry Potter. Must do this. Cannot go to bed. Must read this book and find out what happens. So,
yes.
Yeah, I definitely, a lot of my childhood was Harry Potter.
I read many of the later ones in one sitting when they came out. You know, I lived in Texas when the fourth one came out. And so I pre-ordered it, but not through Amazon or anything, so it didn't get delivered. Mm-hmm. So I didn't stand in line, but I did go to the bookstore the day it came out, and then I just sat and read. I lived with my aunt at the time, and I was like, do not talk to me. Yep. It's Saturday, and I'm just going to read Harry Potter.
Yep.
And then, yeah, then I think after that, 5, 6, and 7, I pre-ordered on Amazon, and then they just come to your house.
Which was just lovely. Like, oh, I used to love that.
It's like magic.
I don't know why we didn't always have that with books. Like, and I know there used to be like Book of the Month Club, and I'm probably showing my age that there used to be Book of the Month Club, but it's just like, what? Now I actually, I enter a lot of giveaways on Goodreads. Mm-hmm. And so my mother will tease me because it's like, oh, did we get any mail today? Did you not get a book today? Because it actually feels like empty almost where there's a day where I don't get a book mm-hmm. in the mail. I'm just like, even though, you know, I'm probably not going to get to this book for like 18 months, but it came in the mail. And it's a book and it's pretty.
That's right. My precious. Exactly. Totally. On that note, we're going to take our second break of the podcast. And when we come back, we're going to talk about books. Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and we'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I am here with Stacey, and we are talking about Harry Potter and lots of other book-related topics. If you haven't read Harry Potter, it might not make any sense what we're talking about. If you've read the movies, it might make more sense. But
if you've read the movies?
If you've read the movies. If you've seen the movies.
I mean, I also kind of now want to read the movies, if that's a possibility.
Well, it's like The Cursed Child, where you're reading the screenplay.
And I am of two minds of that, because on the one hand, I'm like, okay, look, you did the seven, and you were always going to do the seven. The seven was planned. The other two, Fantastic Beasts and whatever, were for charity. Stop. Leave it alone. Do not be one of those people who keeps going back and makes like sequel after sequel, and they're not as good. I'm like, dude, right. You're going to ruin Harry Potter for me. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. So I haven't actually read the play, The mm-hmm. Curse of, what is it? The Curse of...
That's Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, I think, isn't it?
Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Yeah.
Or the series that she didn't write, but that she kind of approved of, about Harry's son.
Yeah, so that's like... what the Cursed Child is about, Harry's son. And because it's a screenplay, or because it's a play, mm-hmm. and it's the script for that play, then it's written very, very differently, because you don't get all of the... You know, it's not a novel, so you don't get all of the inner monologue and the backstory and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so you don't get the insight that you would get. So it's definitely a different reading experience. It's kind of fun to go back and have Harry and Hermione and Ron as parents, but I don't know. It just, I read it and it was okay, but it just, and it takes place over several years. So instead of, you know, it starts out with Albus Severus going to his first day of Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. And then it takes place over several years. So instead of getting a year, a book, you just kind of get it all squished in.
I don't know. I requested it from the library, but then I saw the reviews on Goodreads and they were very much mixed. And I was just like, I remember someone, we were talking about The Godfather and I had seen 1 and 2, but I hadn't seen 3. And they're like, oh, that's good. Oh, don't touch Godfather 3. And that people were referring to this as Godfather 3. It was fine. It was great. And then you went a little too far and you ruined it. And now my memories of everything else. And I'm like, you know what? I like my memories of Harry Potter, even if there are parts in the movies that I was like, I don't know why you cut that out or why you put that in or why you did that this way. Mm-hmm. I am perfectly okay because I was 8, I think, or so when I first got the book, and 11 when the movie came out, and then 21, I think, when the last movie came out. So that felt like a good mm-hmm. capping of my childhood mm-hmm. to finish off. And I'm like, you know what? I'm good. I am good with that. That was a nice end, a nice bookend. We're good. We don't have to do anything else. But I did actually, have you seen a Harry Potter musical?
No.
So I don't remember how I discovered this at all, and it's totally on YouTube, and they actually ended up doing 3 of them, and in the third one, because it became this huge viral sensation, they actually have the girl who played Luna in the movies playing Luna mm-hmm. in the musical. That I'm kind of okay with, partly because they're being they're following the storyline, but not quite following the storyline. The original musical came about because they, like most of us, read, you know, book 4 and were like, so I feel like Draco has a crush on Hermione, and this is why he's being terrible to her, and just completely ran with that and made this really silly musical about it and became so popular they made another. But I'm okay. I would actually be okay if they did like an actual official Harry Potter musical.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, so long as you're staying within, you know, almost the canon of it, of this is what happened in those 7 years,
right,
and we're not going to go past that. Just imagine they have the happily ever after that we got with a little epilogue of sending the kids off to Hogwarts, and don't do anything else. Leave it alone. Stop. Just I can't. When you go too far, and when you go like one step too far with sequels or whatever, it just ruins mm-hmm. all your memories of everything that came before, even if they were fantastic.
Right.
It's like, but now I know there's this terrible ending, so I can't ever forget that there's this terrible ending.
I think for me, it didn't ruin it for me. And I think part of that is because it's a script. So it's so different that it doesn't feel like a Harry Potter book necessarily. So it didn't, I could just kind of be like, eh, it's over here. It's this thing that I read once that felt like I'd been to that world before. But
does it feel like fan fiction or?
Almost. Oh. I mean, maybe a little bit. I don't read a lot of fan fiction, but
Harry Potter was my intro to fan fiction also.
Okay.
I had never heard of it before. And then I was reading it and I was like, okay, what is this?
There is fan fiction that has, and I'm going to blank on the, why am I blanking on the name? Artemis Fowl going to Hogwarts.
I haven't
read it. My husband read part of it and he said he was actually kind of fascinated by it.
Yeah.
So yeah, Artemis Fowl is going to Hogwarts. And did you know they're doing an Artemis Fowl movie?
I had heard that.
So I'm a little scared.
I'm interested because I definitely read the first 2 or 3 and then the next one hadn't come out and it took so long to come out that by that point I was a little older and I was like,
do them on audiobook.
Oh yeah.
The narrator is fabulous. I love
it. Who is it?
Yeah, right. The only problem is that there's, I think, 7 or 8 books.
Yeah.
And they're all the same narrator except for one. And it's the penultimate one. So second to last. And it takes you like 3/4 of the way through the book to get used to this new narrator and the voices. And then you finally get used to it. And then you go back to the old guy.
What the heck?
Yeah. So that's a little hard to take. But they're really fun.
That sounds like an interesting thing, though. Artemis Fowl at Harry Potter, because he was very much like, how can I use magic for evil purposes?
Yes, I think he might have been in Slytherin.
Almost definitely. I assume so.
I would, yeah. If he's not, I'd be very upset with the fan fiction author.
Or he just was like, you know, screw the houses, period.
Right. We don't need these stupid
I'm houses. Artemis Fowl. I do whatever I want.
Exactly. Oh, what? So, Harry Potter, what else? I had other questions, but they've all flown out of my head. Favorite book? We talked about that. Favorite character? Do you have a favorite character?
In Harry Potter or just in?
In Harry Potter.
Hermione. I mean, oh my gosh, she was just so wonderful, loved to read, and was always prepared. And I actually really, really, really wish that her bag was a real thing, because that would solve so many problems, including just getting books home from the library. Why is that not a real thing? Even more than like Hogwarts and getting my letter at 11, I want that bag.
Yes.
I need that bag.
I know. You can put everything in that bag.
It was, and she was so like, I'm on top of this. Even if, you know, she was, I love the quote in the, I think it's this, now I can't remember, 7 part 1 or 7 part 2, where she's talking about we need a plan. And Harry's like, when do any of our plans ever work out? And I was like, but I love the fact that she was like, even though I know going into this, this is going to be crazy because every other year at this school has been crazy, I'm going to make a plan. I must make a plan. I was like, thank you. Thank you for that.
How did you feel about, speaking of plans and every other year at school, how did you feel about the 7th book not being at Hogwarts?
I will admit, when I first read it, I was just like, so wait, we're not going back to school? We're just, okay. I mean,
I was very concerned for Hermione. She needs to graduate.
I thought that was like clear. Oh man, you really feel about this. You're not even going to Hogwarts. Although then she did later. She's the only one who went back.
Right.
Because of course she did. She's Hermione.
Yes.
But I was like, wow, I didn't know you were that serious about this whole thing. But that shows me how serious you are, that you're like, no, I'm not going to school. And I'm just going to, we have to save the world.
Yes.
Yeah. That's evidently more important than Hogwarts. So, but I liked the fact, I didn't quite like the fact the way they did the split in the movies. Because it was so weird. I thought the first one was beautiful and it had this like sort of gray overtone throughout the whole thing. And it was somber. And then the second one we made really much into an action film for some reason. But I felt by the time we got about halfway through the 7th one, and maybe it was just that it took so long to get there from the others, that I was like, I can't actually remember who some of these people are. Like when we get to Mundungus Fletcher, I'm like, and in the books, we've actually met him before, whereas in the movie, it's like, hi, I'm Mundungus Fletcher.
Right.
Like, who are you? And I also hated that as we, and clearly she didn't know as we were doing this, but as we were going through movies, people who would show up later to be important don't show up in the movie they're supposed to. So it's just like, you're a very small character, even though you're going to be important later. And we then have to introduce you in this really awkward way. But by the time we get to that, it's like, save for Dobby, because Dobby was such a main part in his book, I'm actually a little confused on who a number of these people are that keep showing up that we have to like go to until like with even with Griphook, I was just like, what when did we meet you and what did you do? Like, it's, and I mean, part of that was I was just heartbroken at the end of 6 when Dumbledore died. Like, that was impossible in my mind. Dumbledore couldn't die.
I know.
Dumbledore,
what's Harry gonna do?
Like, how on earth? No, that's not that. This was a misprint or something. This was written wrong. Someone hijacked this book. You can't kill Dumbledore.
It's like that scene in The Princess Bride. No, Grandpa, you read that wrong.
Exactly.
You can't die.
That can't have happened. And for some reason, I also just imagined in my head that Dumbledore was already like several centuries old, even though we saw in the first one with the Sorcerer's Stone that, no, we destroyed the one Sorcerer's Stone, and that was Nicholas Flamel, and nobody else should have one. But somehow in my head, Dumbledore was still just several centuries old and still had several centuries to go. And you can't have Hogwarts. And I think that's why I wasn't too upset when we weren't at Hogwarts. Because you can't have Hogwarts without Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Like, and the fact even also that then we later get that Snape's in charge and not McGonagall. But it was just like, there's this doesn't exist in my head anymore if Dumbledore's not here.
Yeah.
There's no point even... Even if we weren't in the middle of this war for just the whole world, there's almost no point to go to Hogwarts if Dumbledore's not there.
Now I'm sad.
Yeah, anyway, I totally cried.
Now that we've depressed you with Dumbledore being dead. Oh, spoiler alert.
Oh, yes. If you haven't read all 7.
I'm sure everyone hopefully knows. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to wrap this up because we could talk for hours, but, you know, there's schedules to keep and all of those good
life
things
to do.
Yeah. So thank you so much for joining us on the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I hope to do more book chats with Stacey in the future because, as I said at the beginning, it's so wonderful to have a kindred spirit to talk to about books. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I hope you will join me again on Thursday for another episode of the GSMC Book Review Podcast. In the meantime, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, really anywhere that you listen to podcasts, you can find us. And you can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. Please come find me and interact. I'd love to hear from you. We also have a blog, www.gsmcbookreview.blogspot.com. Again, thank you so much for joining me. And Stacey, join me again on Thursday for an all-new episode of the GSMC Book Review Podcast. But in the meantime, get yourself out there and get lost in a good book. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.